Monday to Friday, 2:30 to 4, it is The Blitz here on AM 1450 KATE. Mitch Widmeyer here with you. We go to the phone lines. He hops on every Friday. We're always thankful for his presence and his time. John Foakey, the executive producer and studio host for the Minnesota Timberwolves, our guest. Thank you as always, John. Sandwiched between two wins against the Clippers since Sunday was an ugly loss to Memphis on Monday, so I thought we'd get that out of the way first before we can go to some of those brighter topics. What were your takeaways, I guess, from the Wolves' three-point loss to a Memphis team on Monday that hadn't won a game in about a month?
I think a couple of things. You know, first and foremost, it was kind of setting up that way. Second end of a back-to-back for Minnesota, you're facing a desperate Memphis team who was riding an 11-game losing streak. You know, the starters for Minnesota played big minutes. You're still without Nemanja Bjelica, so your bench is shortened because of that. And, you know, traveling after that game on Sunday down to Memphis where the Grizzlies had been off since Saturday. So you could kind of see it setting up in that it was going to be a battle, no matter that, you know, the Grizzlies were going through a coaching change and you know, riding that losing streak. But I think what, you know, in addition to that, you know, the schedule kind of being stacked against Minnesota, they gave the Grizzlies confidence early. And we've seen that before, Mitch, whether it was the Indiana game, Detroit game, Phoenix game, down in Phoenix. When you're facing a team that, you know, is struggling, you can't let them feel good about themselves early on. And the Grizzlies hit a couple of shots. They were able to hang around. You know, it was a nip-and-tuck game back and forth throughout much of it. But because Memphis had that early confidence, saw some shots go in, they were able to play with that confidence throughout the game and never found themselves, you know, trying to climb out of a hole because the game was so close for much of it. And, you know, it was Minnesota who had to climb out of a six-point hole to get back into the game. And so, you know, we've just seen that too many times where a team that, you know, on paper is inferior gets a little bit of confidence. And obviously these guys are NBA players and, you know, they're in this league because they're the best of the best. And if those guys get confidence early on and they start to get a little rhythm and flow, it's hard to stop them. It's hard to stop anybody like that. And so, you know, just unfortunately for Minnesota defensively, they weren't able to really disrupt Memphis enough to take control of that game. And when it came down to it, the Wolves, you know, needed some shots to fall in the fourth quarter. They couldn't get them to go, and Memphis pulled out the win.
I like how you phrased it for the Grizzlies, too. It was very, very much so a desperate team. I saw Mike Conley. He's out with an injury. I saw him tweet, though, after the game on Monday, "Thank God." Marc Gasol said on the Grizzlies TV coverage, it was the biggest win throughout his tenure in Memphis. He was, of course, speaking tongue-in-cheek, being somewhat sarcastic, but it was good for Memphis, that fan base, that team, to get off the schneid. What did you make, last note on the game, what did you make of the Grizzlies, especially down the stretch, going to a method of doubling Towns and forcing his hand? Because I thought, for the most part, in those situations, Cat did all right with the decision-making.
Yeah, and I think he's obviously seen the double team before. I mean, think back to last year. That was one of the big topics of conversation. You know, all the double teams coming right at Cat from the minute he touched the ball, not waiting, you know, to see whether he had a good game or whether he was cooking and then sending a double. And so we're starting to see that more and more. I thought he handled it well. Coach Tibbs brought that up after the game. He said in the Clipper game on Sunday, felt like the ball was sticking a little bit when Towns was getting doubled in the post. But he was getting it out. He was making good decisions. Unfortunately for the Wolves, they weren't hitting shots. And so, you know, he didn't end up with high assist numbers because you can kick it out, you know, all you want and make the right pass, but it also relies on somebody else to knock that shot down. And so I thought he handled the double team well. I thought the following game at Los Angeles, you know, again, he handled the double team well, made the right decisions, made the right pass, and this time guys were scoring. And that's when you saw, you know, his assist numbers go up. I think he had four assists in that game. So you got to realize, you know, if you're Towns, that teams know what you can do and that you can hurt them. And so they're going to send doubles. And, you know, you hope that he can continue to recognize that, know where the double's coming from, know where his release valve is. And those guys can hit shots to help take advantage of that double team and mismatch.
Always love having him on the program. John Foakey, the executive producer and studio host for the Timberwolves, our guest this afternoon here on The Blitz. They were able to bounce back with a win against the Clippers on Wednesday. There was a sequence at the end of the first half, John, where Taj Gibson Someone missed a three for the Clippers. Taj gets it underneath the hoop, his own hoop, with 3 seconds left. He chucks up a one-handed shot from full court that comes up short. Jimmy Butler then says something to Taj that the TV's caught that I can't repeat, and the two started laughing as they jogged into the locker room. And I don't know if it was just me, if I'm missing this, but it was the first time in a while during a game that I've seen some of those dudes laugh and look like they're kind of enjoying what they're going through. Have they looked tense to you in recent games, or perhaps putting more weight on their shoulders?
No, I mean, I think they look competitive. You know, going out and trying to find a way to win. I don't, you know, it's tough to say whether they are tense or, you know, putting more pressure on themselves than normal. I mean, it would be pure speculation on my part. And I haven't seen the guys to be able to ask them that since they've been on the road all week. But I think that was a fun moment. That was a lighthearted moment. You know, the guys, Jimmy, obviously with what he said, was, you know, laughing, and those guys have a long relationship going back many, many years to their Chicago days. And so it was just kind of a fun moment. But, you know, overall, I think, you know, the team as a whole, you'd love to see them kind of get that bounce and get that swagger back in their step. I think, you know, they're going through some things right now in that they're trying to figure out how to close these games out. And they've seen a couple of games where they've let a lead slip away, or they haven't been able to, you know, score in the final 5 minutes of a tight game, or they haven't been able to get the stops. And so you're kind of trying to figure some things out. And through that, you know, you're probably not smiling a whole lot as, you know, you see these games that you think you should win slip away. So hopefully this group, you know, now that they're back home and they're kicking off a 5-game homestand on Sunday, can get a chance to get in the gym, practice a little bit, find that rhythm, find that groove, and, you know, get that swagger back. And, you know, you go back to that Phoenix game. It was almost 2 weeks ago now, but where Tyus got his first start and the Wolves rolled by the Suns. And, you know, there was a lot of smiling in that game. Guys were playing well. Ball was moving. There was great balance. And, you know, there was good excitement. Guys were happy and excited for Tyus. And so, you know, it's funny that, you know, we look back to the most recent game and we're so focused on, you know, those types of things that it wasn't that long ago that this team was, you know, kind of had that vibe, had that rhythm and was playing well, stringing together a couple of games. But, you know, as the pendulum swings and you drop a couple or you don't close out a game, you know, heads are hanging a little bit as you try to work to figure that out. And so, you know, I think this is an important stretch here for Minnesota, not just with the games that you've got coming up. Dallas is certainly a winnable game. The Wolves have already taken the first two with the Mavs. You've got Phoenix on the schedule again. Sacramento, who's struggled, and a fun ESPN matchup Tuesday against the Philadelphia 76ers. Yeah. So, you know, this is a great opportunity, an important stretch for Minnesota, and hopefully they can take advantage of it.
Offensively, those first 24 minutes on Wednesday night against LA, I thought were great. It was balanced. There was ball movement, plenty of assists, and a very, very good rhythm, it would appear. All five starters ended up finishing the game in double digits. The Wolves held off a late rally by the Clippers. Belly missed his eighth straight game. Boz wasn't in the rotation on Wednesday night. I'm wondering, John, how difficult do you think it's been for Tom Thibodeau trying to manage minutes with this most recent sort of eight-man rotation as they kind of just wait for Belly to fully recover from that foot injury? Because he's been a key piece when he's been healthy this season.
He certainly has, and you know, Tibbs talked about it after the game on Sunday that, hey, we just got to find a way to scratch out wins right now. And, you know, if that means tightening up the rotation to eight guys to get it done, then that's what you have to do. He realized through the first 2 months of the season, looking at the schedule, looking at the travel, you know, and the lack of practice time, that this was going to be kind of a survival start to the year. So you have to find ways to win. And, you know, Shabazz is a guy that the Wolves are really hoping to get solid production out of. You know, we saw glimpses of what he could do last year and how he could fit in with this team with his scoring, his offensive rebounding, and his rim running. And this year, coming off the bench, he just has not been able to find an offensive rhythm at all. And, you know, as Coach talks about all the time, that, hey, if your shot's not falling, then impact the game in other ways. And Boz just hasn't been able to find that consistency, and so he's fallen out of the rotation. Now the hope is when this group is back home and they get some practices in that, you know, they can start to find the rhythm for some of those guys and get them, you know, consistently working in practice, you know, figuring some things out there, and maybe that translates over to the game. And so, you know, survive these first couple of months, get home, regroup, get some practice time, get some rest, get some treatment, and try to take advantage of this week-long homestand before they head out for a really busy second half of December and into January before that All-Star break.
John Folkey is our guest this afternoon, kind enough to take time out of his day to hop on. He's the executive producer and studio host for the Minnesota Timberwolves. I mentioned the five starters in double digits against the LA Clippers. Jamal Crawford also had 11 off the bench, and John, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring it up. The lone three by Jamal Crawford on Wednesday night, he made it from straight away. Was that not just vintage Jamal Crawford? He steps into it, gets the leg kick, the high arcing shot that splashes home at an arena that he called home for 5 years.
Yeah, and he should have been at the free throw line.
Yeah,
he got knocked
yeah.
to the floor, and he let the refs know about it too. The king of the 4-point play should have had another one. I think he's got 52 now to his credit, the most in the league in the history of the league by a huge margin. And I thought he should have had number 53 right there, but that was classic. I mean, it was real fun this week getting back-to-back matchups or close to back-to-back matchups with the LA Clippers and hearing from Doc Rivers and, you know, talking to Brian Seaman, who is the Clippers radio play-by-play voice and a former Minnesota Lynx and Timberwolves voice, just about their memories of Jamal and what he meant to that team, to that city, and to that community. And they showed a video tribute to him during the game on Wednesday. We actually had the audio in-arena feed pregame when Brian Seaman gave his keys to the game, and his third key wasn't a key at all, but it was a welcome back, Jamal Crawford. And so he had a huge impact on that organization and, you know, was there 5 years, and it's kind of wild to think. He's been in the NBA 18 seasons, and that five-year stop at L.A. with the Clippers was the longest stop in his NBA career. He's played for 18 different head coaches, but he's positively impacted not just the team but the community in every stop along the way, and we've seen that so far here in Minnesota as well. So good to see him play well in a couple of matchups against his former team. Good to see the Wolves get wins, but also, you know, great to see the fans and the organization recognize him for what he meant.
We'll finish up with a couple of points. Four games since last Friday for the Wolves. They haven't played since Wednesday. They have 3 days off before they welcome in Dallas on Sunday, and it starts a five-game homestand. Is it fair to say this three-day break, followed by five straight at Target Center, is coming at a pretty perfect time for Tom Thibodeau's club?
Absolutely. Not just for the rest of the practice time that we talked about, but also, you know, I don't know how close Belly is, but if he is close, great opportunity to get him on the practice court, running through things, get him up to speed. I haven't checked the G League schedule, but when Minnesota's home for a long stretch like this, maybe they, you know, bring Anthony Brown up to help in practice or give him, you know, some opportunities up here to get more comfortable with the system and things like that. So I think it's a very important stretch, you know, to take advantage of the games that you have, to continue to protect your home court. The Wolves are undefeated against Western Conference foes at home. Certainly something you want to keep building on. And when you look ahead to Phoenix and Sacramento and Dallas, you know, being some winnable Western Conference games during this homestand. So a lot of things working in the favor of the Wolves, and you hope that they can take advantage of it.
We'll leave on this. You brought up the five-game homestand. Who's on it for the Wolves? The Mavs, 76ers, the Kings, the Suns, who will be without Devin Booker, and then it wraps up with Portland. But it starts with the Mavericks on Sunday. I'm curious, John, as to what your thoughts, your takeaways, watching Dennis Smith Jr., the point guard, the rookie point guard for the Mavs, have been so far this season. I watched the game the other night against Boston. He was getting into it. He was stirring it up with Kyrie Irving. I mean, he's been sensational to watch. And the dude, he's, as a rookie, he is not backing down from anyone.
Not at all. Kid's a stud. There's no doubt about it. And you love the relentlessness with which he plays and, you know, the intensity, but also just, you know, he is relentless at going to the rim. And if you give him a step, you better look out because he will throw down and throw down hard. And as a team that's sort of in transition like Dallas, I think it's great to have a guy with that type of a mindset that you can build around moving forward. I mean, you know, Dirk Nowitzki is one of the great competitors of all time and one of the most, you know, amazing players to ever play this game, but, you know, not necessarily that kind of in-your-face type fiery leader that it seems like Dennis Smith Jr. can become. And same with Harrison Barnes. You know, Harrison Barnes is a great talent, but you know, not necessarily that vocal or, you know, emotional, at least on, you know, up front. And so I think it's great to have a guy like that who can become kind of that emotional leader and the guy that stirs the pot, as you said, moving forward as they kind of transition away from the stalwarts of Devin Harris, Dirk Nowitzki, J.J. Barea, and kind of into this new era of Harrison Barnes, Dennis Smith Jr., and so on.
It's a 6 p.m. tip on Sunday, which means it's a 5:30 pregame. We'll have the game right here on AM 1450 KATE. John, as always, thank you for the time.
Absolutely. Take care, Mitch.
Friday's spread coming up next here on the Blitz.